Hello and welcome to the Echo Chamber podcast. My name is Tony Groves and today we're back in this position again where we were pre-Christmas and we're back covering the mother and baby home report. As always, I'm joined by my co-host, Martin. Martin, how are you?
Not too bad. And yourself, Tony?
Well, I was planning on not doing any podcast. We've that many done that I said, oh, we can afford to take a little bit of time out. But events, dear boy, events.
Well, it's also when our guest picks up a phone to us, we will drop everything for this guest. And we absolutely will.
Now, before we drop everything, I just want to remind listeners, listener-led, absolutely no ads, no sponsors. Patreon.com/Tortoise Shack. Help us keep the show on the road. We are expanding the Tortoise Shack in ways we never thought were going to happen, but here we are now, and we'd really like you to come on board. Anyway, nonetheless, we are rejoined by one of our favorite guests, returning world champion, solicitor and dad and nerd, Simon McGarr. Simon, how are you keeping?
Hello to both of you.
It is a slightly disappointing that we're having this conversation so soon after the last time, Simon.
It's very Groundhog Day, I have to say. Now, hopefully we don't have to get to the same level of fever pitch of emotional investment that people had to put in order to change the ship. But undoubtedly, it looks to me like there is still an issue in relation to the records and that are being processed. And maybe it's worthwhile recapping what happened last October, November,
yes,
just for your listeners to remind them as to where they started and where the government ended in respect to this. So initially, there was a proposal to seal the records of the Mother and Baby Home Commission for 30 years. And this was extremely upsetting for an awful lot of people who had been looking to try and get hold of information about their adoptions, and also other people who were looking for information about their children and the people who had been given up for adoption and where they were now. So to have the matter sealed for 30 years was very upsetting, but also it turned out it was also illegal. It was in breach of EU law. Because there was nothing in relation to the legislation that would allow the government to overrule the rights of people under the data protection, the GDPR, the data protection regulation out of Europe, to access data relating to them held by the minister. So the minister spent, I think, probably 3 weeks denying the GDPR applied to this information. And his argument was that he had some domestic legislation which overruled the European GDPR. And he constantly told everyone the Attorney General had told him that, and that was the Attorney General's advice. And there was an awful lot of argument made in public by people who knew about the GDPR and EU law. And they said, that is not possible. You can't overrule EU law with domestic law because EU law is superior. To which the answer was, well, that's what the Attorney General tells us. And then it was reported in the Irish Times that he eventually went to Cabinet after the law had been passed. He went to Cabinet and he said, this is what happened, and that was because I was acting on Attorney General's advice. This was what was in the written memo that was circulated. And the Attorney General, sitting at the Cabinet table, says, that's not my advice.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the result of that was then that the minister changed his position. He acknowledged the GDPR did apply. The Attorney General said, no, the GDPR does apply to this data. There isn't an exemption. We don't have a magical domestic legislation out from EU law. And therefore, it looked like the question of this sealing the records had been resolved satisfactorily. People would now be able to send in data subject access requests. There would be a balancing test applied to the requests where, if there was a clash between your data rights and my data rights, that each clash would be examined in its own merits and a balancing test applied. And that's a perfectly standard method of dealing with these kinds of clashes under the GDPR. Very appropriate. Problem. Section 6 of the Act that the minister passed asked the commission to stay open after its report was delivered. And what it said was, we'd like you to write to the witnesses, who were of various categories of person, We'd like you to write to all your witnesses and offer them to delete the data relating to them from the file before it reaches the minister. Now, the consequence of this would be that would be irrevocably deleted. But there was no provision in the legislation for the balancing test to be applied. This is because the minister at the time was claiming the GDPR didn't apply. The consequence is that the commission over Christmas has now been writing to people, and before Christmas contacting them by phone, as I understand it, has now been writing to people, inviting them to ask the commission to delete this data. Now, when it's gone, it's gone. And that means that if people were to write in, as the minister had promised they would be able to do with their data subject access requests once the records reach him, they'd no longer have a balancing test applied between their data and the and another person's data because it wouldn't be there.
Hmm.
So really, I felt that this was sufficiently time sensitive that people who could be affected should be alerted to this because the commission is due to finish their work in February of this year. And the thing that I thought was the most effective response was to suggest that people would directly ask for their data from the commission and not wait for the transfer of the data to the minister. So under the GDPR. Now, since I posted that and I put up a text of a letter for people to use on mcgarrsolicitors.ie, but since I posted that, Maeve O'Rourke came back with some new information, and she said, "Well, actually, we're told that the commission is reacting to these requests for information by refusing them." And they're now citing domestic legislation as the basis for refusal of access to records. Now, it's not clear yet whether the request for access to records specifically cited GDPR. So we'll have to see what the response of the commission will be to the specific letters that are, I understand people have already been sending to them. But that's where we are.
Yeah, and looking at that, and again, I spoke to Maeve O'Rourke as well, and the Clan Project have issued a statement, and they have referenced that, you know, that their concerns about it, they will respond in full to the report when it's issued, but they also share your concerns because they've spoken to survivors or people whose data is contained within the report who have not been able to get access as they require. So it hasn't been the process that they're due to under law. Surely, Simon.
The idea was that if you write off to the minister after the archive has been transferred to the minister, and you say, "I'd like to make a data subject access request," that the minister would send you all of the records relating to you, and the only caveats were relating to tests on the record. Now, the Attorney General outlined two tests. One of them doesn't appear to be legitimate. But nonetheless, the relevant test for these discussions is if there is an occasion where there are two people who have data rights over the same piece of data, what do you do if they have conflicting wishes with the data? One person doesn't want it released, one person does. And the answer there is that it depends on the circumstances. And that's a complicated issue.
Mm-hmm.
The department and the minister would have to deal with as the data controller. But if it is the case that then this is short-circuited by the commission deleting information before it reaches the minister, it seems to make something of a mockery of the minister's proposal that he'll accept the GDPR and that he will comply with that and he will help survivors access their data.
On what legal basis are they doing this, Simon? Are they still, they're still quoting 2004 domestic law?
Well, the first thing is that Section 6 directs them to write out to people, and Section 6 directs them to invite them to delete the data. And Section 6, because it was passed before there was an acceptance that GDPR exists, doesn't address the GDPR requirements at all. Now, I would argue that it's the Commission's duty to proactively ensure European law is upheld, and that as an emanation of the state under perfectly standard, long-standing principles, it's a requirement of an emanation of the state to set aside any domestic law which is in conflict with European law. But the starting point is that the commission has to be notified that what it's doing is incorrect.
Yeah, so they need to be notified of what they're doing is incorrect. The people affected should be given access to their data. We're talking about birth certs in some cases. We're talking about family histories. We're talking about really sensitive things. You know, where people receive vaccines.
To be very clear about it, the primary source of agitation and concern, and the likely source of conflict between different data subjects over the same piece of data, is where a person does not wish it known that they had a child, but the child wishes to know who was their parents. And that is a very difficult piece of information, a needle to be threaded. That is very difficult. And you do have to look at the different person's set of circumstances and weigh it up. So it's not easy. But if it can't happen because the data has been deleted first, then we're never going to have anybody having a feeling that their rights were respected and that their rights were taken into account. Whether you get the data or not, at least you can have reliance on the proper procedure has gone through in order to reach the point as to whether or not you get the data.
And accepting that, it also, from the state's point of view, we've seen, I don't know if you saw the article with Philomena in the Irish Examiner this morning, talking about the need for access then, because these people have been through traumatic situations, and there's also, they denying this will make it more difficult for them to access court, to access criminal investigations, or to get any kind of recompense or compensation or whatever rehabilitative supports they require.
Well, of course, I mean, the state never wants to make it easier to sue it. Even though it might say it wants to help you, that's the one thing it never particularly rushes forward to assist you with. Nonetheless, I think that what you're looking at here is, this is a consequence of the basic error the minister and his department made about the GDPR. That's what this is. And it is for the minister and his department, I'd say in the first instance, to take whatever steps they need to in order to make sure that these people's data isn't deleted before they get an opportunity to make a request to access it.
How do you get the information to these people, Simon?
Well, unfortunately, I mean, I don't have a television station that belongs to me. And admittedly, unlike Donald Trump, I still have more followers than Donald Trump on Twitter, but it's not quite, we're not quite in the mass media situation here. So all you can do is to try and let people know, please, can you look at this? If you think that this affects you, know that there is a step you can take, which is to send a data subject access request. Tell them that if they go to mcgarrsolicitors.ie, it's the most recent post on the front page as to the text they can use in order to send it. And it gives them the email address that they send it to. The one extra bit of info I'd say is attach a copy of a photo ID, because it's something that people ask for, and it just would slow things down not to have it in the initial request. Then beyond that, all I can do is rely on people to tell other people, whether it be by way of retweets or by way of podcasts like this or going on the radio or talking to journalists. All we can do is spread the word. It is very tight in terms of the times that's involved here. But nonetheless, I think that if people are concerned that their data might fall into the category that could be deleted without them even knowing it. Remember, you don't get told this data is deleted unless and until you send in a subject access request after the fact. And by then it's too late to argue about it. You don't get an opportunity to fix it. I really think that all you can do in order to address it is to spread the word, let people know that it's an issue, let them know there are steps they can take. One of the worst things is to tell people there's a problem, but then not give them anything they can do about it. That's just misery. So there are steps you can take. It costs nothing to send that email in. It's not permitted that you would receive a data subject access request and then after the fact delete the information that might be covered by it. Mm-hmm. So this is by way of a saver in order to try and catch this data before it's deleted. However, I think on a systemic basis, this is for the minister to solve. And the obvious, there are a couple of steps the minister could say, we passed that, but we didn't take account of EU law. And therefore, we recognize that, you know, that should be read in the light of EU law and write to the commission, letting them know that's the minister's opinion. In addition, the commission could and maybe should and possibly even will take steps to uphold EU law once they're notified of this problem. And then the last step I would say is if the law was wrong and it's illegal, then but that the commission is determined to apply domestic legislation over and above EU legislation, then it is for the minister to change the law that he passed, which is a bit of a pain in the neck, re-legislating something that was already legislated for. But I mean, it is something that I think that is too significant in terms of the pledges made by the state and by the minister in particular to the survivors that you would let it just go by because it would be inconvenient to do it.
Just want to say to people that we will include a link to Simon's letter in this. So if you're listening to it, it'll be in the blurb and Simon has already given you the address there, but we will also include a link for easy access.
And that's it. And thanks a million for letting me come on and tell people about this. I mean,
it is
unfortunate that we're back arguing the same position that the GDPR does apply to this corpus of data and that people's rights aren't automatically being respected. But that's the consequence of the original sort of original sin here of the refusal to apply the GDPR out of the minister and the department. And there's nothing else to be said about that.
Simon McGarr, thank you so much for taking the time. I do think, listeners, we're talking about hundreds of thousands of people have impacted by this. So if there's someone in your life who's impacted by this and you don't want them to, you think, don't let them listen to that podcast, it'll radicalize them. Just send them the link then. Just send them the bloody link and make it easier for them. You don't have to submit them to Tony and Martin's ranting and ravings, but do share the word because honestly, Simon is right. It's about almost again, here we are again talking about pressing pause on something that shouldn't be going ahead.
I would actually suggest there's one other step that everybody could take, which is the government TDs were upset that their constituents were upset in October and November. This reached, as last I looked, there's a petition in relation to this from last October that has, I think, nearly 200,000 signatories. A lot of people felt that the survivors of the mother and baby homes were not being respected. And I think that if everybody, whether they're directly affected or not, let their TDs know that this is something they care about and it's a problem. I mean, the TDs don't know about this problem. I will tell you that. They don't know about this problem yet. Let them know Section 6 of the Act that the minister passed is problematic and there's going to be bad consequences from it. If only the government could only fix that before those consequences happen, it would be great. And, you know, I think that's of value as well. Those TDs do not want a replay of the conflagration that we saw, the fire that we saw last October. But also, it shouldn't take it that people have to pay with their own emotional pain in order to raise the temperature so highly that the political system is willing to act. And I really think that that was one of the things that we saw there. It took people actually coming forward and saying, this will hurt me. I am hurt by this. They told their friends, they told their family. Their family were therefore distressed on their behalf. Their friends were distressed on their behalf. And they told their TDs, you got this wave of pain, which comes from the deep well of pain that the mother and baby home scandal really represents in our society. You got this wave of pain, and it was only the heat generated by that, by people's anger and hurt, that caused the state to move. I would dearly like the state to move without having to trigger that amount of pain and hurt again. And so hopefully they'll take the opportunity to do it.
Simon, as always, a pleasure to talk to you. And I'd like to remind our listeners that these pods, they have a value. And please support our Patreon at patreon.com/tortoiseshack. And we will talk to you all again real soon. Tony, talk to you later, buddy.
Mind yourselves.
Tony and Martin, Martin and Tony, speaking to interesting people only. It's the Echo Chamber Podcast. Subscribe now on Patreon.